All right, we've made it to the final hour of late night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And it starts with a couple of stories from the National Football League. And they're not good stories for the next couple of segments. One's about redemption, and one is a breaking news story from earlier today that people are talking about and should be talking about because it's not a good situation. It involves Tyreek Hill, a player of which I know a little bit about because he's a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. The news broke earlier today that police are investigating two incidents of suspected child abuse at his home. So an investigation is underway involving a juvenile at the home of Kansas City Chiefs star Tyreek Hill. Overland Park police were called at 4:20 p.m. on Thursday to a home in whatever block of Switzer Road in Overland Park. Officers were previously called to that same address on March the 5th. So this is the second time in the last couple of weeks. It's said to investigate a report of child abuse or neglect. Hill's name is directly listed on that report. According to Overland Park Police, the original report was closed 3 days later when prosecution was declined. Okay, so that was March 5th. That was closed 3 days later when the prosecution was declined. Hill's name is not listed on the most recent battery report, but his address is the listed location. Sources tell this particular outlet, KCTV5, that the Overland Park Police Department has turned over their investigation to the Johnson County District Attorney's Office for review. Hill's agent would not comment on the matter and hung up the phone on KCTV5's investigative reporters. Now, the Chiefs did put out a statement as follows. The club is aware of the investigation involving Tyreek Hill. We are in the process of gathering information and have been in contact with the league and local authorities. We will have no further comment at this time. The reason why this upsets me so much in regards to him specifically, and it should be very upsetting to any human being, any football fan. You don't just have to be a Chiefs fan. Any football fan. Just any human being, period, is because Tyreek Hill has a past, okay? A past that has been documented. People are aware of it, but I don't think that everybody across the country is aware of Tyreek Hill's past. Now, a lot of people look at Tyreek Hill and they know that he's the receiver that burst onto the scene the last couple of years with his speed. He's making a lot of downfield catches. He's the fastest guy in the National Football League right now. His Twitter handle, I think, is Cheetah because he's so fast, right? When he's past you, he just gives you the peace sign, like, I'm gone, all right? He's a spectacular player. He's a dynamic player. He's explosive. But he's got issues. So just to get back to his past, in 2015, okay, this was before he got into the National Football League. At this time, he was at Oklahoma State University. He pleaded guilty to domestic assault and battery with his then-pregnant girlfriend because he had choked her and punched her in the face and stomach in December of 2014. So he pled guilty to this in 2015. Let me repeat. His then-pregnant girlfriend, he choked her and he punched her in the face and stomach. That just, that infuriates me. So now, just to put you guys in my shoes for a second, a couple of years ago, Tyreek Hill was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs. And being at a sports talk radio station, I didn't know anything about his prior incident. It was revealed after he was drafted, though. So that weekend, we found out what happened. In terms of this, what I just read to you about the choking and punching of his pregnant girlfriend and punching her in the stomach and in the face. The judge had deferred Hill's sentence for 3 years and gave him a clean slate. According to court records, Hill's domestic assault and battery charges from 2014 were dismissed and expunged. All right, so essentially he was what? Getting probation. the woman at the center of this investigation right now that he's engaged to is the woman that he assaulted years ago, the mother of his child. This upsets me because, number one, I don't feel like it was ever truly dealt with at the start when he was being processed into the National Football League and was coming in with baggage. We were told that he's on the straight and narrow. He's doing fine. He's atoned for his sins. He's been through the courts. We investigated this. We vetted him. He will be a good citizen in Kansas City. We'll have no problems. Okay, that's what we were told. And I'm going to say this, and I do mean this. I do believe in second chances. Now, it's a case-by-case situation. I don't think that everybody deserves a second chance. If you go out here and you do something heinous and you take somebody's life, no, I don't think that you should be playing in the National Football League or the NBA or the NHL or Major League Baseball. No. I don't think so. Go serve your time, and if society says that you have the ability to get out and live, then that's on the court systems. But it was frustrating to me that this guy essentially was given an opportunity at a good life, and we really didn't think all that much about what he had done prior to. So he comes into the league, he has a good start to his career, and now we have this allegation that he's abusing his kid. And this is not in the news reports, but this is some speculation that you're seeing in various different outlets that allegedly he might have broken his son's arm. I don't know if that's true or not. That all will come out in the wash. I'll say this, though. If that is indeed true, he needs to be released tonight. Immediately. There's no place for that. It's absurd. And the point of my rant right now is that I believe that the National Football League, as well as some of the other leagues out there, professional sports leagues, they have to show us that they're serious when it comes to dealing with people that are accused of domestic violence and battery and assaulting people, women and children. Because we're not seeing that right now. And there's too much of that going on across the board. And that's the problem that I have with all of this. The NFL needs to go ahead and prove to me that they truly care. Because right now, I am not sure that they truly care when it comes to their players being a part of doing things that are as negative as what we're seeing right here. But this is the saddest part of all of this. Okay, this is ultimately the saddest part of all of this. He is not the only one. Okay? There are certain individuals that get caught up in situations, and we want to think that it's, well, maybe it's just this person doing this specific thing. And I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush every NFL player, because no, every NFL player is not doing ridiculous things. We talked about how here in Minnesota we have Kyle Rudolph, who was up for NFL Man of the Year, and he's a great representative of somebody doing something awesome in our town. We've had Chad Greenway. We've had so many different. So the majority of professional athletes do the right things. But they're that small number that screw things up. But beyond that, I think that right now the NFL is going to have to. They're going to have to send a message. But I am not sure that as a league, they are willing to send a message. You want to know why I'm not sure that they're willing to do that? Well, I'll tell you coming up next after the break why I don't think that the NFL is ready to send the message that they should be sending when it comes to domestic violence. We'll get to that next here on Late Night on 830 WCCO. Yeah, I'm in a mood. I'm upset that some professional athletes don't know how to act, get their act together here on Late Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. And I posed a question before the break, though, about how I'm not sure that the NFL is ready to get their act together. And the reason why I feel that way is because you know how they say, show me that you care? Show me better than you can tell me. Don't just tell me you care about something. Show me that you care. Actions speak louder than words, right? We've been told that. We've heard that forever, since we were little. Your actions speak louder than words. And I don't feel like the actions, when it comes to the National Football League, have shown me that they care enough about women that are abused, children that are abused, and just overall the issues that we have with domestic violence, battery, people being assaulted. And no, I'm not saying that it's the majority of football players. It's not half of football players. It's not 30% of football players. It's not a quarter of the league. It's a small number. But show us that you truly do care about us and that you care about that person that is the abuser. Tell me that you care about them really squaring their life away and getting themselves together. And I want to see more evidence of that. Because another story came out today involving an ex-chief by the name of Kareem Hunt. So Kareem Hunt, who was in his second year in the National Football League this year, he was the story of, remember, last year as a rookie, led the NFL in rushing. Okay, so he won the rushing title as a rookie, which is pretty impressive. This season, there was some video that came out in regards to him kicking, having an altercation with a woman in, what was it, like a hotel condo-type residence in a hallway. And instead of walking away, knowing you're an NFL player that has everything to lose and nothing to gain, knowing that you're a man and that men don't put their hands on women, instead of him walking away, he did not back down from the altercation, pushed the young woman to the ground, and commenced to kick her, which was absurd in the first place. It was ridiculous. Uncalled for. Should never have happened. Wasn't thinking. Did the wrong thing. So instead of doing the right thing, he did the wrong thing, and what ended up happening? Well, the year before his rookie season, at the end of the season, there was speculation that came out that this had occurred. But you know what? Nothing came of it. Well, then what happens? Well, we have this this outlet that's pretty good at getting video footage. It's called TMZ. TMZ was able to acquire and get the footage of what took place. And when TMZ put it out there, that was the end of his run with the Kansas City Chiefs. And he was released by the team and became a free agent. Since then, he has been picked up by the Cleveland Browns and given a second chance. Now, I'm all for giving people second chances, even third chances in life, when it comes to getting themselves together and their life on track, depending on what type of transgression they've had. But when I say I'm not sure that the NFL really thinks that much about the domestic violence and stuff, he was given a consequence today. Now, I don't know, DJ, what you think is appropriate when it comes to a guy that kicks a woman on video, pushes her to the ground, and has had other, maybe one other incident where you're like, maybe his decision-making is not that good. He was given an 8-game suspension. Now, I'll be quite frank with you. That's a lengthy suspension according to NFL rules, okay? That's lengthy for them. But at least in my mind, they could have went a step further. They could have said that you can go ahead and take the year off and really drive home the point that this will not be tolerated. In our society, we have to drive home the point that especially with athletes that kids idolize, athletes that people look up to, that we will not tolerate this nonsense. We will not tolerate this violence, this negativity. The only reason I truly believe that he was disciplined in the first place was because TMZ found the video. That was the only reason I think that in the first place he was even disciplined. If there's no video, according to TMZ, they do nothing. Same with Ray Rice. If Ray Rice was not caught on video, because it shouldn't have to come to that. If they don't get the video out there of him punching his fiance in the elevator, he's probably still playing in the National Football League right now. And to me, that's the most embarrassing thing in the world.
It seems clear to me that the NFL makes decisions based on what they think will be best for their bottom line.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not about what's the morally right thing. It's not about making a stand. It's about what stance, what decision, what are we going to do that's going to make us look good, not for the sake of doing the right thing, but for the sake of doing what's right for the bottom line. Now, to be fair, plenty of businesses do that all day, every day, and to some extent, it's your job as a business to do what's right for your business to make money. But at some point, especially for an organization that's as high profile as the NFL, you got to make a stand, even if it's not going to be the thing that's going to be best for you financially.
The NFL is not going to fold if Kareem Hunt is out for a year.
Yeah.
The NFL hasn't folded ever since Ray Rice didn't get an opportunity. Well, he did get an opportunity to play after he punched his fiance, and then he ended up marrying her. He did get a chance again. He wasn't productive after that, and they said, we're good here. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. And I guess my whole point is show me that this is a real issue that you're concerned about and that we're looking to correct it and that we're letting our players know that we're not going to tolerate this. We're not. It should not always have to be a situation where we need video to go ahead and try to drive home the point. Because when guys make mistakes, put it like this. The NFL and these teams, they have the best attorneys. They have the best investigators. They have the best of the best. They have the best of the best. They know and can get to the bottom of a lot of different things. And there's a lot of times when I feel like teams want to turn the other way and they don't want to know about certain things. They don't want to know about certain situations. No, do what's best for your fans, okay? And not only put the best talent out there. Yeah, we want to see the best talent in the world. Yeah, we do want to see that. But we also want to see the best human beings in the world. We do have morals out here. Or we should. I'm not about going and spending my dollar. Just watch somebody play a game. But I feel like they're morally bankrupt. That's, at least for me, that's not what I'm about. Coming up next, there's a coach that has, well, he's taken a stance in regards to what he is willing to do and not do when it comes to coaching his basketball team. I don't understand it. That and today's top story comes your way in 60 seconds on News Talk 830 WCCO. 30 minutes left of the broadcast here, late night, on 830 WCCO. This next story, I just can't... I'm trying to wrap my head around it. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to understand this. What this coach's stance is, and I just don't get it. It makes no sense to me. So we've talked about how the NCAA tournament's coming up. And the right now there's so many different institutions that want to be a part of March Madness. And there's so many institutions that are concerned about their seeding. Like, there are certain schools that are concerned about being on the bubble, right? And then there's schools that are concerned about what is our seed. Like, Duke, they're concerned about their seed. They're not worried about getting in the tournament. We want a high seed. We'd like to be a one or a two. Then there are certain schools that are sitting there and looking like Oklahoma that are like, we want to get off the bubble and into the tournament. Well, a team that's in the tournament, and they'll probably be a 3 or 4 seed, probably a 3 seed, is LSU, the 9th-ranked team in the country. And LSU, here late in the last, 2.5 weeks, has had a little bit of a, there's a story that's that's come up in regards to LSU basketball. And it involves their head coach, Will Wade. Will Wade is under investigation. His name has come up because, according to the FBI, they have him on a wiretap talking about paying a recruit. Okay? So he is caught on a wiretap, allegedly, talking about paying a recruit, giving money to a family to get a kid to commit to the to his program. So he is put on suspension as LSU is trying to see what's going on here. The player in question is also on the sidelines, right? He is put to the side. There's oh, you know what? This kid that did actually make it into the program and is on the team and he's the kid that's in question, we need to check all of this out. Now, the kid has just been reinstated as of yesterday. They say, okay, the kid is in the clear. We've talked with him. We fleshed this out with him, whatever. So now we're going to reinstate him. The coach, on the other hand, is not coaching right now. And he wants to coach. But that's the problem. Will Wade wants to coach, but he does not want to cooperate with authorities. Will Wade has a really good basketball team that's about to embark on their journey to play in the NCAA tournament, and he's not going to be there because he doesn't want to talk with authorities about this federal probe. This comes from Robert Munson, who's the senior associate athletic director at LSU. Coach Wade is aware that his status will stay as indefinitely suspended until he is ready to talk to LSU officials. The timing of this is up to Will at this point. The door is open. So this is the university that wants to speak with him about what the heck is going on, what took place, what happened. They are talking to their employee. The LSU, the university, they want to talk to Will Wade and get to the bottom of this. And he is refusing to talk to them, but he wants to coach. What world is Will Wade living in? He thinks that he's going to be allowed to coach an NCAA tournament game, but not talk to the people at LSU about what transpired with him and a recruit? Like, this guy's lost his mind. This from his attorney. I'm writing to confirm that upon the conclusion of the pending Southern District of New York criminal investigation, Coach Wade will be happy to meet with you and LSU's Board of Supervisors and to answer any and all questions you may have. I repeat, he says, meet with you after conclusion. So he thinks that he can get through this by saying, hey, I will answer any question that you want. Any question you want, you can ask me anything. But let me just go ahead and coach this team up right now. And at the end of the year, when it's, you know, or the end of the, if the investigation is next year and they wrap it up, whatever, then I'll tell you everything you want to know. This is the most ludicrous stance that I think that I've seen from a coach in quite some time. Like, how does that even play? Right? Like if something was to happen to me in the next year or two, I think that Mr. Hansen down the hallway will say, hey, Lake, I want to talk to you because you need to give me some information about what transpired here so we can figure out how we're going to proceed. And if I said, no, I'm not talking about this, after all of this stuff is resolved, then I'll talk to you. But until then, let me just go ahead and do the radio show. Like, that's not real life, is it?
That sounds like somebody who's got something to hide.
Yes. Talking. Totally. He's totally got something to hide. And that's the issue. But how can you have something to hide and expect the employer to allow you to coach? And how does this do the student athlete a service?
Yeah.
Like, why does he just say, you know what? I'm not in a position to where I'm going to be truthful with anybody right now. I'm going to I'm going to risk it. I'm going to see where the courts end up with this stuff right now. But you know what? For right now, maybe somebody should take over my program. Because right now, what they're doing is they're letting him know, we're not going to allow you to be around. We're going to have somebody coach for you, as opposed to him basically anointing somebody and saying, look, I will take an indefinite suspension and we will get all of the stuff cleared out. And yes, I will cooperate, but you can't have it both ways. You can't sit there and say, allow me to coach, but you don't want to cooperate with the authorities.
This situation reminds me of, what do we hear when a police officer is involved in any sort of issue? Any sort of issue, you hear on the report, they say, blah, 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 this is going on. The officer has been placed on administrative leave.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? They're pulled off the streets.
Yes.
They're pulled out of what they did. Not because they did or didn't do anything wrong or whatever. It's just, hey.
Let us flesh it out. Let us investigate.
This is what we do.
Yep.
Let's figure this out first, and then you can go back to your normal job. And it should be the same in a situation like this.
I just can't believe how bold he is to think that he can just do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you don't run the institution at LSU. You're just the basketball coach. And look, I get it. I'm not a dummy. I know that on certain campuses, certain coaches are treated like they're the president. Not Will Wade. Because remember back in the day, Penn State, Joe Pa? That's the way that Joe Pa was treated. Joe Pa was a very powerful person. And we know that at big-time colleges and universities, yes, coaches that win become very powerful. Nick Saban, yes, he's got some sway. He's got some power at Alabama. We get that. But this is just ludicrous. This is beyond insane that this guy could be on a power trip like this and think that he's going to be able to coach his basketball team during the course of March, and it's just another day. It's just another day in the neighborhood. Like, that makes no sense to me whatsoever. Do you think that that would fly? Maybe that's something that's going to be in the water here. So, hey, you know, Dave, just take over the show tonight. I'm not coming in, but I expect to get my salary anyway.
Yeah.
You just run it. You produce the show, put everything together. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here and watch you. You know?
Yeah. Good luck with that one.
Yeah, that it doesn't work like that.
No,
it's unbelievable. But I saw that and I had to chuckle. I had to chuckle. And this is the other thing about this. You know what this ends up being for LSU as a university? It's a negative headline going into March Madness. It was going to be a negative headline anyway, but now it's going to be even more negative because when they're talking about LSU from a matchup perspective of next week, clearly they'll talk about the kid that was allegedly involved in all of this. Because he's going to be playing because he's been reinstated. And then the other individual that will be discussed will be the coach that nobody has any information. I have no idea what movie this is, Over Your Right Shoulder, that's airing on TBS. But Olivia Wilde, yeah, Olivia Wilde, pretty awesome. I'm a fan. Are you a fan? Your wife's not listening.
I watch over the other, over your shoulder, I see CNN. There's three talking heads talking about something NATO, national, I don't know, something like that.
No, it's talking about white nationalism is a threat.
And there's a basketball game on the other screen over there.
He didn't want to go with Olivia Wilde. Stop hating, man. Your wife's not listening. All right, we're going to wrap up the show here. It's late night on News Talk 830. WCCO. If you're out and about on this Friday night, make sure that you're being safe. Don't drink and drive. Especially don't do that this weekend for St. Paddy's Day. You've heard over the course of the news updates, light rail. You're getting free rides tomorrow night. Was it after 6? I mean, that's awesome. Make sure that people are getting around safe. That's pretty awesome, man. All right, final segment of Late Night here on 830 WCCO. And yes, I say Lake Night, as in Lake, L-A-K-E. You know, they made that, you know, try to rhyme it with Late Night, with David Letterman. Lake Night. What do you think of that name? It's a cool name.
I like it.
It's a cool name. It's a cool name. I like it. Essentially, as opposed to, like, the Henry Lake Show. Don't like that.
We could have done Lake at Night. Like Nick at Night, but Lake at Night.
Lake at Night. Lake at Night, yeah.
That could have worked.
Yeah, it could have worked. It could have worked. All right, so the plan for me is, you know me, diving into watching plenty of sports this weekend. You've asked me what am I doing this weekend. I'm going to watch plenty of basketball. I'm going to I'm doing Fox 9 on Sunday night at 10:30. Outside of that, I'll work out tomorrow. I'll work out Sunday. I'll work out at least 5 to 6 days a week, especially on Saturday and Sunday. Those are my best days. Because then I'm not having to really rush and run and do anything, but I could just kind of get my workout in and go sit in the sauna and just kind of chill out and relax and clear my head and think about what I want to get done over the next couple of days. So that's pretty much, for the most part, my weekend. Big weekend for you and the family, or are you just kind of laying low?
We've got, you know, I got a ton of family in town.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you have the services and stuff like that. Yeah,
we got services for my grandmother. So, which, you know, it's a tough weekend in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I also have
forgot about that.
Family, cousins in town from around the country, and we'll do a gathering afterwards and spend most of the day together. And that's good. It's a good way to remember. Just to spend time with people that you know so well but don't see as often as you'd like to. So
yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I'll do that all weekend. And then you were talking about spots to go for St. Patrick's Day. And I just realized today that, hey, Sunday night, I can go out and do something.
You can. Because for everybody else, well, at least for us, our Friday night is Saturday night.
Yep.
And our Saturday night is Sunday night. So that'll be fun for us.
So I got some stuff Sunday afternoon till, 7, 8 o'clock maybe, and then I might head out and do something. And maybe the crowds won't be so bad at that point.
That's true.
Because everyone else will be heading to bed.
I'm so excited because when you think about this weekend is winding down the conference tournament week, and we're going to have the brackets on Sunday. And then next weekend will be the final weekend that we'll have without regular season baseball. Seriously, we have this weekend and next, and then that's it. Then we've got baseball, baby.
Every weekend until November.
That's what I'm saying. We got plenty of baseball. All the way up until, well, hopefully for us in town.
Yeah.
We'll be playing in October. That's what we're hoping for. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. Because we'll have plenty of college basketball, and now with the Gophers in it, we're guaranteed the next weekend. And throughout this week, we'll be talking about Golden Gopher basketball, okay? And then beyond that, heck, before you know it, it's March 28th, and we've got Major League Baseball back at Target Field. I can't wait, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. And, you and I get the opportunity to be at the ballpark every night.
Yep.
And you'll be broadcasting from there. I'll hang out there for a few hours and then head back here. But we get to spend our summer at the ballpark and then talking baseball after each and every Twins game that's on a weeknight.
And I'm looking forward to meeting the manager. I haven't met Rocco yet, but I think the last player that I connected with and talked to was Kyle Gibson. So Kyle Gibson was on my show last season when the Twins came to town or were on their way to town, and he had said to me something about, because he went to the University of Missouri, and he had said to me something about barbecue, okay, and wanting some ribs. So what did I do for Kyle Gibson? I went to Joe's KC and purchased a slab of ribs for Kyle Gibson, and I delivered the ribs to the Twins clubhouse. I did. I delivered them at Kauffman Stadium to Kyle Gibson. So he got his ribs, okay? Now, I haven't seen him since I gave him the ribs, but I'm going to make sure that we connect the dots in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, if Gibby's out.
Because we talked about it, and he knows that the ribs were delivered because he got them, and the PR people told him about it and said, hey, you were on with Lake whatever. You said something about ribs. And I know that the beat writer for the Minneapolis Star Tribune, Lavelli Neal, he knew about it as well because he was the one that initially, he was kind of pissed off at me because he said, how did Kyle Gibson get ribs and I didn't get ribs? So then I had to bring some ribs to the ballpark for him.
So you're saying that, you know, if Gibby's out there listening to us, he might owe you a little something. I mean, if he stopped by here and gave us a little...
Nope.
Ribs or something?
I'm not saying that at all. This is what I'm saying. Kyle Gibson, if you're out there listening or if you're going to podcast the show, you don't owe me any ribs. You don't owe me anything. Just give me and all Minnesota Twins fans a stellar season and a few more W's. That's all I want from Kyle Gibson. A stellar season and a few more W's.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be nice.
Let's do it.
That would be nice. I'll gladly trade in some more ribs for some more W's, right? Can we work our way up the standings just based off of ribs alone?
If that works, I mean...
I'd be getting ribs shipped in every week.
Yeah, that's right. We better start making some ribs.
I'd be calling Let's my boys go. In Kansas City like, hey, I need you to go by Gates. I need you to go by Joe's KC. I need you to go to Q39. I need about five slabs. Please, hook us up because they're trying to win a title here. But, hey, thanks to the people that joined me tonight. Kevin Gorg from FSN covers the Minnesota Wild. Great analyst. And a great friend of Dark Stars for many, many years before Dark passed away, and a great friend of mine. He joined the show earlier at 9:30. Thanks again at 10:20 to Alex Gold, host of The Gold Standard on SB Nation Radio, talking about the big fight tomorrow night, Errol Spence Jr. and Mikey Garcia. For Dave Josephson, I'm Henry Lake. We will talk to you next Monday at 9 o'clock here on Lake Night. Have a good weekend.